It's the Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
Jay! Jay! Hey! My headset's f***ing.
Text or call the show at 916-339-1140. It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports 1140.
And the payoff. There goes the deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 61. He ties Roger Maris for the American League single season record with 61 home runs. It's a two-run judgy and blast. Here comes the judge. A two-run blast, and the Yankees take a 5-3 lead on number 61 for Judge.
And a 3-2. Joe deep to left field. This could be it. See ya. He's done it. Number 61. He's been chasing history, and now he makes it. He and Roger Maris are tied with 61 home runs, the most anybody has ever hit in a single season in American League history.
Definitely some relief getting to 61. You know, you try not to think about it, but it creeps into your head. You know, getting a chance to do it, you know, in a Yankee win, and especially on another night where, you know, Gerrit Cole ties the, you know, all-time single season, you know, strikeout record, that's, you know, that's a pretty special day right there.
Yeah, I think Gerrit Cole feels.
Yeah, ties Ron Guidry's record, and it's like, hey, what have you done? This other guy did something.
Gerrit Cole's in the back of the clubhouse after the game.
Some one reporter.
Yeah, just wanders. Okay, let's talk. You know, you broke the Yankee record that stood for 1,000 years. And, oh, no. It was
Ron Guidry wasn't there.
No. Yeah, where was. Right.
He was in the upper deck.
He's still.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a great day for baseball. It's a great day for the New York Yankees. It's a great day for the greater Sacramento area as Aaron Judge, born right here, is now tied with Roger Maris with the all-time. It's so funny. It's like he tied Roger Maris and has now hit the seventh most home runs in a season in history. But this is like such a convoluted record. Also, Roger Maris Jr. was there, right?
Yes.
To Aaron Judge's mom. And he talked about how his dad would have felt.
He would be very proud of Aaron because of the way, like I was just telling you, the way he carries himself and the way he comes to the ballpark every day. You know, he's mentally prepared, physically prepared. He's all about doing the team thing. He's all about winning. He's all about focusing on, you know, winning the championship and trying to bring a world championship to New York so he can put number 28 up on the wall.
What about, is he the true home run champ, though, Raj?
Well, I think it means a lot, and it's not just for me. I think it means a lot for a lot of people, you know, that he's clean, he's a Yankee, he plays the game the right way, and, you know, I think it gives people a chance to look at somebody who, you know, should be revered for hitting 62 home runs. And
all right.
How many people, and I think, weren't you asking that question last night? Did you have a poll question?
What?
On that? On, like... What home run, like, is this a clean? Was that your poll question?
I don't think that was mine.
Okay, I think I saw that somewhere.
But we were talking about this in the pregame,
yeah,
in the pre-show. I let me be clear. Like, I would bet my house. Okay, I bet, like, my car. I don't think Aaron Judge is juicing. I think he's clean.
Yeah.
I have no real suspicions. But if I'm baseball, just for funsies, I'm going to Aaron Judge and saying, hey, you know, remember how you've been tested twice this year or whatever? We just want to leak those test results to Ken Rosenthal or Jeff Passan and put them out there. Because for people like you, people like me, that went through the Bonds, Sosa, McGuire years and who've been around the game long enough, people find ways to cheat. Cheating just doesn't go away.
Right.
Science is really, really smart.
Do you think anybody in baseball is cheating today? I would say yes. And
yes.
I'd say that's more than one person.
Absolutely.
A lot of people.
Fernando Tatis got caught with a substance issue.
And for some, like, oh, they're just getting that minor league guy or a middle reliever that's going getting pinched for 81 games. Tatis is one of the faces of baseball.
Yeah.
And they got him.
Yeah, and they got him.
I mean, I would, if I was commissioner, hey, bury this.
Right.
Like, bury it. Somehow we'll get through this because we need that guy in our sport. Instead, boom. So it makes you think
yes,
that he's clean.
Right. Because they're catching people. And they caught Tatis. Exactly. But we don't know.
He's also a massive man. Has always been massive. Yes. Like, there was a picture floating around yesterday of him on Fresno State. And I went, good Lord. He just looked even bigger. Like, just.
He's huge.
Massive. But, you know, baseball has done this to itself. Why wouldn't the doubt be there?
Right. It should. I think for people who live through that, it will be. And this isn't a David Ortiz thing where he did nothing with the Twins and then all of a sudden exploded. This isn't a Brady Anderson with the Orioles thing where he did next to nothing, then had 50 or 51 home runs, whatever it was. I just, here's the thing. I don't want anybody to have it, including myself, because it is in the back of my head. Like, I want to be, and I am really excited for Aaron Judge and for the moment. But I hate the fact that there's like this little tiny itch in the back of my head that's like, oh God, I hope he's clean.
Yeah.
Don't come out that he did something, because guess what? Ever since Roger Maris, every single player that has tied or passed Roger Maris, and there's been six other than Aaron Judge, 100% of them have juiced. Everyone.
Allegedly.
Yeah. So I think it's okay to have that worry.
Right. And, you know, you'd said you hadn't really heard a lot of it. So I've been posting these Judge home runs every time he's homered for a long time now. I mean, I've been kind of on this watch. And every couple is like, yeah, he's juicy. He's juicy. I'm like, okay. I would say no. Do I know? No.
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 I would agree with you, though.
I would be hurt if he did. Same. But
that would suck.
Shocked? Maybe I would be shocked. But I don't want to be naive and go, no, of course he's
right.
Clean. I think he is. But I don't think everybody in the Hall of Fame is clean.
No.
I think, like, Pujols has stayed out of that fray. I want him to stay out of that fray. I don't think he should be in that fray. But you know, and it should be a season where you've had Albert Pujols with a celebratory run here, Aaron Judge with a historic run. You have more baseball teams making the postseason. This should all launch into a great postseason, you hope, because baseball needs it.
You talk about Albert Pujols, and this is the real damage that all the juicers did to baseball. Because I love the Albert Pujols story is so amazing, and you've been on it as we've said since before the season started. And I really, really like him and like his career. About as much as I can like any non-Giant. I don't know that he was clean his whole career. I feel the same way about a guy like Frank Thomas.
Right.
And same thing with Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah.
These are two guys that played right smack in the middle of the steroid era. Now, do I believe in my heart that they didn't juice? Yes. But do I also feel like I'm probably being a little bit naive that at some point one of them didn't take something? Like,
yeah.
And I hate that. That's really the worst part of the damage.
Yeah. Well, and for me, I'm going to speak for me personally. All of that being said, I consider Bonds the home run record.
Yeah.
I do. I could hear people saying, well, it's not. Okay. He did it. I can't even verify how much that impacted his game. I don't know that.
Right.
Were his 460-foot home runs going to go 412? Well, they were home runs. I don't think it improved his bat speed. I think he had one of the greatest hitting seasons in the history of baseball, was getting maybe one pitch a night, and he was turning that around and putting it in the seats. Now, when his high was, what, 39 home runs before that, then he goes for 73 or whatever it was?
Yeah.
That's weird, but he was always a gifted hitter. So I don't know the answer to that, but he did hit 73.
According to court documents, when Barry Bonds was on trial for perjury, he allegedly tested positive for three types of steroids. His trainer, Greg Anderson, told his business manager he injected Bonds with PEDs, quote, all over the place. Bonds had doping calendars and steroid diaries. The evidence demonstrated an intimate involvement with Balco. His lawyers moved to suppress 24 drug tests from 2000 to 2006, 24 drug calendars, Balco log sheets, and witness descriptions of Bonds' physical, behavioral, and emotional characteristics. Bonds tested positive for Clomid, a female fertility drug. He admitted to using the clear in the cream, but said he thought it was flaxseed oil and arthritis cream. In his first 13 seasons, between 86 and 98, he averaged 32 home runs and 93 RBIs, beginning at 34. He averaged 49 home runs and 105 RBI. He hit a home run every 8.4 at-bats.
Wow.
At the age of 40, he had his best season of hitting, 362, and on base, a 609, 45 home runs and 373 at-bats, struck out only 41 times. I really struggle with the home run record is my point.
Okay, and I'm not saying you're wrong.
I'm a Giants diehard. I loved watching Barry Bonds. He gave me so much joy. But I can't get it out of my head that he juiced.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish baseball would simply do the following. If you tested positive for steroids or PEDs at any point, your stats are stricken from the record.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist. Barry Bonds never hit 73 home runs. Never happened. It's not there. Neither did McGuire, neither did Sosa. They're all gone.
The 73 years, so you give Bonds, whatever, 600
home
runs?
Oh, no. I would strike them all. They're just stricken. They're stricken from the record. You didn't exist.
Then you're definitely anti-Hall of Fame for him. Because what is his career?
I am anti-Hall of Fame. But the tragedy of the whole thing is that Barry Bonds is Hall of Famer without the juice.
But then how do you parcel that? Like, when do you exactly go, this is when it started?
If Barry Bonds is going to go in the Hall of Fame, then Roger Clemens needs to go in the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Rafi Palmeiro needs to go in the Hall of Fame. But most importantly, Pete Rose and Joe Jackson need to go in the Hall of Fame, especially Joe Jackson. And that's a much larger argument. I really struggle with that home run record, man. It just, God, why'd you have to juice, stupid?
Yeah.
By the way, you threw out the first pitch yesterday.
And visited the beach practice.
Did he throw a strike?
Coming up in three for madness.
Yeah, coming up in three
was
for madness.
Was it enhanced?
Thursday night football. Right, do they need to test all the kings now? Did it just rub off? Thursday night football, memorabilia, and happy birthday to one of the best that ever did it. We didn't even talk about Frankie Lasagna, damn it. We'll get to all that next.
Join Sacktown Sports and the Sacramento Kings Sunday, October 16th, starting at 3 p.m. for Fan Fest. Festivities include a skills challenge, a 3-on-3 national cup tournament, and so much more. Log on to sacktownsports.com for more details. Three questions, three answers. It's three for madness on the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross. Question one.
Jason and I just made an off-air deal with him next week.
Who's going to win?
I think Jason will, after you hear what it is. He is sad that I don't that I have so much disdain for draft day.
Yeah, I want you to like it more.
The movie or the actual draft day itself?
Actually, all of them, truly, but the movie especially. And I saw the movie in the theaters. Like, I actually went.
Where the disdain comes from, is you took the time to go to the theater and watch it versus, like, if you would have just streamed it on an off day?
I'm trying to think.
I saw it there, too.
I'm trying to think, because I know I've used this as an example. There's a movie, I'm sure, Top Gun Maverick. I had such low, I went to the theater for that, too. My expectations were so bottom barrel low for it. You know, dumb sequel, 30 years later, it's going to be stupid. And it was amazing, and I loved it.
35 years later, Bruce County.
Right. For draft day, it's a Kevin Costner sports movie about football and awesomeness. Like, the cast in there, the cameos you saw, my expectations were sky high. So did I go to the movie theater and were my expectations too high?
Think so.
Was draft day for me the sports version of Team America World Police? I think it might have been, because I felt the same way about Team America. I hated it. But then later on, I started to like it a little bit more after I saw it for free on, like, HBO or whatever. So I'll watch Draft Day, and in return, Jason's going to watch Tombstone. Like I said,
Jason's getting the way better
than
that deal.
Jason's winning, for sure, but we all win because we need Jason to have seen Tombstone.
Yeah.
In the meantime,
do I have to watch a movie?
Jay's actually seen Tombstone, which is really weird. And yes, you have to watch a movie, but we'll figure the one that you haven't, you know.
Okay.
Three for Madness, question one.
All right, speaking of movies, we got one tonight. It's going down in Cincinnati. Tua Tagovailoa, the undefeated Dolphins of Miami, Florida, travel to the cold Cincinnati.
The cold
take
Cincinnati.
On super cool Joe Burrow and the 1-2 AFC Ducky. Champion quack, Bengals.
Quack. Sorry, I was
quack,
trying
quack,
to...
Quack, who's winning?
I was trying to do...
yeah, you did it wrong.
I
who's
did
winning
it wrong,
the game?
Son of a... And we were just talking about this because everybody, the Vegas is picking the Bengals. Everybody we just saw on the football show, they picked the Bengals. There we go. That's the Bengals. So I'm picking the Dolphins. Like, they're all smart and I'm probably stupid, but I'm sorry. The Dolphins are 3-0. Come on. What do you want?
Rawr.
Dolphins.
I'm going with the world and against you.
Wow.
I think that's a theme that we need to remember for, as the week goes along. Bengals.
Wow.
Yeah. Panamanium.
Was there, what was on the field?
What was on the field? Yeah. Let me see. Was it? It's not a Bengal. It's not a Dolphin.
Dolphin?
Living with a football. It's a bear.
Oh, a bear was bear. On the field. Yeah, they're not even playing. Involved in this.
Get out of the way, bear.
Question two. Oh, Jay.
Yeah.
You pick.
Tie.
Oh, yes. Oh, Jay, you get a lot of points if it's a tie.
Hey, this is Charles Barkley.
All right.
Question two.
Charles. Okay.
You can't play with the computer responsibly and taking
it
away.
Here's why I was going to do it.
Hey, this is Charles Barkley. I hope you're enjoying the NBA playoffs on TNT. And I hope you have enjoyed my T-Mobile Fave 5 list. I'm a dumbass.
He'd run Burgundy the whole thing. It's one of my favorite clips. Question two.
All right. What other in-game piece of sports equipment would get the same kind of value as a home run ball?
So close.
For instance, like Aaron Judge's 60-second would go for lots of money should he hit it.
Blue Jays fan Frankie Lasagna.
That's made up.
Right? Isn't it? Yeah. Frankie Lasagna. He grabbed a baseball glove from his garage, went out to Rogers Center yesterday, got some. It was on his glove and he dropped it. Estimates say that ball could be worth two. Imagine reaching out with a glove and having $2 million go off the tip of it. That's what happened to Frankie Lasagna.
I think we've had this question in a roundabout way before, as far as like if you caught the home run ball, what would you do? Like for me, that would really be a huge conundrum. I'm a big fan of Aaron Judge. I'm a big fan of the Yankees. If they wanted it, I'd want to give it to them. But then when you start to like, Dave, I have a $2 million lottery ticket. I'll just give it to you.
I wish I could be there when that happened because I understand why.
You'd punch me in the head and take the ball.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. You know what? Because because your heart is pure when it comes to that, and I completely understand why you would do that. All I would have to do is I would pull out a picture of your wife and your son, and I would just put it in your. I mean, Jason,
this is smart.
Look,
this is brilliant.
I understand what you're thinking. Look at them. What could that do for them? And I think you'd be like, oh yeah, that's you're right. And you'd want to still do the other thing, but then you think about like really what that money could do for your family.
You know what's interesting is you say that, my wife would go, why didn't you give the ball back?
she 100%.
And my son would have had the ball and go, whee! And throw it out on the field.
You're 100% be the only one that would care.
I'm like, that didn't help, Dave. You needed to show me, like, bags of cash.
A piece of in-game memorabilia that would be anything, as valuable.
Nothing else fetches that, does it?
Okay. Let me try to throw some out here. The notes Lou Gehrig read during his luckiest man on the face
Does
of the
that
earth.
Count?
That's not an in-game, like, I oh, caught okay, a home run. Right. Like,
although that's really good.
It's said memorabilia.
Okay.
Okay, fine.
But like, well, I guess the point, like, a home run ball is, like, so
it's very
coveted.
Unique.
LeBron scores in Sacramento.
Yeah.
The go-ahead beats Kareem. And for whatever reason, punts the ball into the second deck.
Yes.
Someone gets that. That's awesome.
Yes.
They may want the ball back, but if not, if you get it, like, is that getting that much money? Maybe it is.
I don't think anything will fetch more than a home run ball.
I think it's getting a lot of money. I don't know that it's getting that specific amount. There's nothing like a baseball record-breaking home run ball.
Yeah. Like Brady's ball went in the stands last year, right? They got it back, but there was this big.
Yeah.
But that's not the same, right?
No,
because getting the ball thrown to you in the stands like that, the home run ball, you're literally a part of the history of it. You know what I mean? Think about different things that have happened in baseball, not just a home run ball. For instance, like, go back to Steve Bartman. Why is that so controversial? He's part of the history of the moment.
You know who wouldn't have dropped that ball? Steve Bartman.
That's true.
Steve Bartman would have caught that sucker.
No, here's what would have happened. The home run wouldn't have counted because Bartman would have reached over the yellow line.
And then I would have been mad at Bartman.
Oh my goodness.
That's a W.
That is
pushed him over the railing.
Question three. It's a good topic. Question three.
All right. Former Detroit Lion wide receiver Calvin Johnson is celebrating a birthday today.
Hey, happy birthday.
Megatron. You call him Cal Joe,
right? Yes. Isn't that what everybody calls him?
All the time.
Cal Joe.
More on Cal Joe and his birthday later in the show. He had a Hall of Fame career, but left more out there.
Let's make that stick, Cal Joe. Mm.
What other athletes come to mind that could have done even more with their great careers?
Cal Joe, take me away.
Cal Joe, take me away. That's a joke that only over 40s, I think, get.
Yep.
The very first thing that comes to mind. Now, okay, to be clear, let me make sure I always want to fully understand the question. We're not talking about people that passed away.
No passing away, no injuries.
And no injuries.
Oh, no injuries. Okay. So just calling it quits.
Just calling it quits. All right.
Yeah.
First guy that comes to mind, played for the same team.
Yeah.
Barry Sanders.
Absolutely.
I got one.
Who?
Yeah.
Patrick Willis.
Oh,
you know what? If you want to go there, and
that's really good.
This isn't Patrick Willis, but God, who was it? Speaking of the same team, was it Chris Copeland? What was his name?
Borland.
Thank you.
Yeah, but that was one season. Was he going to be any good? I mean, he was okay.
He was the best.
He was the best ever.
Nah, but Willis was a guy I think still had a few more Pro Bowl years in him.
I'm trying to think of NBA. It usually has injuries, though. Bird had more to give. Magic had more to give.
Yeah. Kyrie Irving.
Why do I feel like tennis has one? I'm stuck on tennis for some reason, and maybe I'm wrong. I feel like tennis.
Floyd Mayweather Jr.? No. Nah. You think we got everything out of Floyd?
Yeah. We're still getting too much out of Floyd.
That's true.
Yeah, way too much out of Floyd. I would say,
How old was Barry Sanders?
Wasn't he like
early 30s?
Was he?
Yeah.
I think he was early 30s. I think he was like 30, 31.
Which is great because that's right when you fall off the cliff.
Great one from Kyle of our station on the YouTube. Andrew Luck,
that is a great one.
Yeah, he was 30, 31, right in there, depending on.
Okay. Andrew Luck could still be in his prime.
Andrew Luck would probably be in his prime right now.
That might, you know what? That's the winner.
Really?
Here's why. We all say this about Barry Sanders, but it's all I'm not trying to get morbid.
No, you hated Barry Sanders.
Well, those two guys made the Hall of Fame. Well, Luck.
They did.
No, Jim Brown?
No. Jim Brown, I think, would also be on that list. But to the Barry Sanders point, and I'm not trying to get morbid here, but it's, you know, all the singers and musicians, of course, that die early, right? Like Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, Amy. Oh, okay. Kurt Cobain, right? Nobody ever had to watch them when they were like 72 and playing at Canocti whatever casino, you know, in front of 20 people. They're forever frozen as other world superstars in our minds because they passed so early. Now, Barry Sanders didn't die, but Barry Sanders was 31. We never had to watch him like, oh, he would have made that cut four years ago. And that's right when running backs fall off. Maybe he had another year or two.
Right.
But
we're not seeing the 600-yard rushing season.
No. Yeah. Andrew Luck had like 10 years of either Pro Bowl or close to Pro Bowl, you know, and he stayed healthy.
Right.
I feel like you asked, who did we lose out on who had the most to give? That didn't pass away or get injured.
Yeah, the rest were out of luck.
Or you.
You.
You. You. You should join me this weekend over at Amy Ace Hardware.
Will there be popcorn?
There will be popcorn, and there will be hot dogs. Yes, that's right. This weekend's the grand opening of Amy Ace Hardware and Amy's Outdoor Living. Second location. First time they've ever had a second location. El Dorado Hills Town Center. Amy Ace Hardware has been family owned for more than 100 years. Used to go there with my parents. That's how old it is. When I was a little kid. Very excited. Very honored to be out there Friday at 10 a.m. for the ribbon cutting ceremony. All weekend long, their vendors will be there to assist you with whatever questions you have. Barbecues, tools, paint, yard, garden. Best of all, you're going to find the most outstanding grand opening savings as well. You're also going to find me with the Traeger pellet grill rep, learning how every single thing works, picking up new tricks, or learning old ones. It's a grand opening of this heritage business, so huge to the backbone of Sacramento. Amy Ace Hardware, Amy's Outdoor Living, El Dorado Town Center, Highway 50, La Trobe Road exit. Hope to see you out there. We have audio from King's Camp Day 2. And why I'm getting more and more bullish on the squad, I realized something incredibly important last night. Plus, I put a poll out in the field. We'll give you the results next.
When it comes to the Kings,
nobody has you covered like we do.
Right now, we're joined by our friend Davion Mitchell.
The playoff drought is on Kings fans' minds. There's no way around that, Davion.
It's kind of been on everyone's mind, and that's the thing in Sacramento. But, I mean, we just try to go out there and be the hardest team to play every day. Just, I think the main thing is we're going to play defense. I think this year we're going to come in a defensive-minded team, and I think that's going to win us a lot more games.
The best Kings talk.
The flagship.
Sactown Sports.
Your local sports leader.
Got a take?
Make sure it's a hot one.
Take a shot right now.
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sactown Sports 1140.
All right, welcome back. JT O'Sullivan is going to join us.
Is he the quarterback whisperer? Can we call him that?
I'll tell you what. His Twitter, but it's also other places as well. It's called QB School.
Yeah.
And watching him break down game film, that's where I found him. And it was so exciting because we all remember JT. And to have him be come on and just really, we're going to ask him about Jimmy Garoppolo. Mm-hmm. We're going to ask him, might ask him a question or two about other quarterbacks as well, but really focus on Jimmy Garoppolo. And where JT comes in is just really breaks down his footwork and all that other stuff that we might miss. So I am
that's really, good.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to talking to him. Now, we're in day two of Kings Camp, or yesterday, should say, was day two of Kings Camp.
So did you say you were getting more bullish on this team?
You know what?
What's happening?
It's like I knew about this. But I didn't. So something happened last night, and I ended up going down this rabbit hole of the Kings coaching staff. Because they've got a lot of new coaches.
Yes. But I think they've got an excellent coaching staff.
They have an excellent coaching staff. My fault, did not realize how amazing the coaching staff was. Where am I going here?
Yeah.
So, you know, they have Luke Lux, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Who De'Aaron spoke highly of to us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know where Luke Lux played his college basketball?
I do not.
That's Florida State University.
Oh, okay. I see where you're going there.
But I'm trying to find because I wanted to find the the clip. Obviously, Luke Laux is going to know everything there is to know about basketball if he played his games. And by the way, Luke Laux was part of the huge upset of North Carolina oh so many years ago. But Davidis Dulkus is also now the player development coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know who Luke Laux used to pass the ball to in that North Carolina game to hit three-pointers?
Okay.
Yeah. The Sacramento Kings have not one but two former Florida State basketball players on their coaching staff.
And that's turned it over for you. That's what's been the difference.
Honestly, how could they?
What could go wrong?
When the Giants drafted Buster Posey out of Florida State, I knew good things were coming. And they did. They did. There's now a legit... As a matter of fact, there are more coaches on staff from Florida State than any other college. Basically, the Sacramento Kings are a breeding ground for Florida State coaching talent, right?
Yeah, facts. Yeah.
I did put out a poll yesterday.
Okay.
And I did this.
Oh, this is the one I did. Yes, okay.
I did this last year. I'll continue to do this all year. I will, throughout the year, ask the exact same question. Two questions, to be honest. Will the Sacramento Kings make the play-in? And will the Sacramento Kings make the playoffs? And playoffs, as we have defined, is not you finish a 7 or 8 seed and then lose to whoever's in the play-in either. You must be in the final 8 after the play-in tournament is concluded. That is making the playoffs. Almost 1,000 votes on both sides. Will the Sacramento Kings make the play-in this season? 77% say they will.
Wow.
77.
How many votes did you say?
Almost 1,000.
Okay.
77% say they will. And I just retweeted that back out there if you want to get in there if you missed it. Will the Kings make the playoffs this season? Again, final eight after playing. 60% say yes, the Kings will make the playoffs.
Same amount of people voted for that too.
Actually a couple hundred more voted for that. So hopium is real. I'm not here to squash it.
Well, it's like you said yesterday. I think we could easily do this. I think it's really easy to do this. Have the segment where we say why it won't work and break down all the things. And I think part of the reason, though, I believe more people would say why it wouldn't work would just be the past.
Right.
And honestly, the past has no indication for this year. None.
No.
Now, the track record suggests, hey, 16 years of missing the playoffs, why would this year be different? But things are different from year to year for teams.
Absolutely.
For the Kings, unfortunately, it's been very repetitive. There's been nuance inside those seasons why it's been less bad or just flat out bad. But also, if you paint the positive, why it would work, I could see why it would. I definitely could. But that doesn't just mean it happens either. So I'm really looking forward to this season. I really am.
I am too. And I just have... Jason, I just have so many questions, and they mainly revolve around defense.
Fair.
And it's one of those things that we're not going to know. We're not going to know until we actually see them playing. What I do know, and that's without injuries. You know, injuries are the big, you know, Phoenix ain't dropping out. Memphis ain't dropping out. Golden State's not dropping out. Dallas isn't dropping out. Denver is not dropping out. I can't imagine a world where Minnesota adding Gobert is dropping out. The Pelicans, I actually think, can threaten to be a top three seed this year. I think they're going to be absolutely amazing. And the Clippers have Kawhi Leonard back. They're not dropping out. That's eight right there.
But not even in fairness, you do the same exercise last year, you would not have included the Lakers.
That's correct.
You wouldn't have.
That's correct.
So something amongst those teams, maybe one would have to go wrong, or likely the nature of sports will go wrong.
But I've struggled with that Lakers thing because you're right. You're right.
And even last year, let me throw another team because after the year ended, it was, Portland had the longest playoff streak. They'd made eight in a row. It was like, well, how's Dame Lillard team's not going to miss the playoffs?
Right.
Well, then he got hurt.
That's right.
CJ, they completely changed. So I would have said when the season ended last year, Utah's not dropping out.
Sure.
Well, now all of a sudden, that's a different team.
Yeah.
And now that was an off-season move. So one of those teams, I believe, in there, if not two, will surprise us maybe in a negative way.
I totally agree with you. And I the Lakers is a tough one because I do feel like that was such an outlier. Mm-hmm. Right? The Lakers were – last year was such an outlier for two reasons. Because the consensus teams to meet in the finals – the Brooklyn Nets and the LA Lakers. One missed the playoffs and one was out in the first round.
Yeah.
Like that doesn't I could be wrong. I do not believe the Lakers are missing the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
Not two in a row, not with those that roster.
I'll have this number. I forgot I had it at one point, but not a lot like the NFL where there's four teams in, four out at least for the last 25 years.
Right.
It's not that dramatic in the Western Conference, but I want to say it's maybe an average of 1.5. So let's say two or one that will be out that was in last year.
Sure.
So, and that's been pretty consistent for the last few years. So there will be a change or two, but it's not as drastic as the NFL generally.
AA Ron on the YouTube chat. Hey, Luka or Jokic, serious injury. Those teams drop significantly.
Of course they would. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
And if the NBA outlawed teams that city started between the letters A and M, I think that would open up a lot of room for the Kings, too.
Yeah, I mean, we could work on that.
I see what he's saying. When we come back, we'll get into more Kings camp storylines. And also, here's a conversation. This is more of a philosophical one. What is, once again, I'm having the conundrum heading into a Kings season. What is the virtue of being optimistic in any way about this team? We'll get to that next.
When it comes to the Kings,
nobody has you covered like we do.
All right, so we're here with Rashawn Holmes.
Definitely been in the gym like crazy than I ever been in my career. So I'm in the best shape that I've probably ever been in. And I've just been working on the things they need me to work on, you know, stretching the floor, ball handling, decision making, things of that sort. And you know, I'm really, really confident in the work I put in this summer.
The best Kings talk.
The flagship.
Hey, Sacramento, it's Rashawn Holmes, and you listening to the home of the Sacramento Kings, Sactown Sports.
Your local sports leader.
The 94th most popular celebrity from Carmichael.
How popular do you want to be?
Meets a Celtics broadcasting legend.
Celtics are going to go for the win. Everybody here at Golden 1 Center on their feet.
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sactown Sports 1140.
Welcome back. So, I have this conversation all the time, and there is a lot of buzz about the Kings, and it seems like it's more than just your general, like, hey, it's a new year, we haven't lost yet, like, it really seems, and there's some national buzz. So, I was talking to a listener friend a couple weeks ago. He said, you know, the thing is you're always... He goes, I love you, love show, da da da, love Jason, love Jay. I hate that you're always so negative about the Kings.
You know how I know you're not being genuine right now is when you say, love the show, love Jason, love Jay.
They do.
Love Jason.
Wow, you're saying that they couldn't possibly love Jason?
No, I said they love Jason.
Oh, you're saying they couldn't possibly love you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. If I'm being honest, they said they love Jason, and I didn't want to make you feel bad. Guys, call me on my stuff. And I said, in fairness, there hasn't been a lot to be positive about this team.
True.
I'm going to lie to you. I said, yeah, but it's preseason. And so I explained, listen, part of it is I truly do not believe in this team. And I think most people are on that edge.
Why?
Why do most people not?
No, why do you not?
I don't believe in this team because I believe we have a first-year head coach. Okay. And Ime Udoka's aside, generally first-year head coaches, it takes them a little bit to get their personnel together and get their vision in place. That aside, I do not believe this team has any vocal leadership. I think they have a bunch of great guys. But I think once again, they're a little short on dogs, and this is a dog eat dog league. And I don't believe that this team is going to be able to play the defense they need to play. And that's about it.
Oh, that's good though. I'm glad it was. Your answer to me isn't anything about 16 years.
No.
The only thing I would say that is carryover, and I think it should be carry, is the defense.
That's right.
Because it's a lot of the same. A lot of the same players. Now you have a different coach.
Yes.
But there were different coaches that still couldn't get this team to play defense. So it could be scheme. Some. I think a lot of it's players. That would, I think, be a more than a fair concern. But they could have lost for 30 straight years, 50 straight years. That is no indication on this year.
No.
But it doesn't mean fans can't be, you know, I get it why fans are burnt out or not as optimistic. Until they're shown. And the other part I was thinking about with the preseason starting Monday. The tough spot the Kings are in, I thought they looked tremendous last year in the preseason. It means nothing.
And but in summer league.
They really did, though. They looked really good. They played a lot of their main guys. I mean, they're ready to start this season.
Yes.
So this preseason, if they look great, I prefer that. If they look terrible, oh, no, here we go again. Like, I don't feel like they can do anything even in the preseason that, I don't want to say matters, because I think internally it matters to them. I would like to see them play better defense in the preseason. But as soon as the real season starts, which was, what, 3 weeks from yesterday?
Sure.
Like, that's truly when you're evaluated is the win-loss.
Well, then we get to the philosophical. And I asked the question I often ask. You know, you got Ryan and other guys on, you know, somebody said 16 didn't beat one until it happened. And Ryan in Sactown says Keegan's going to be the leader through his actions and play. And I bring back the philosophy that, I don't know why, but it does make some people really angry. And I'm not trying to anger anyone. What is the Jason, do you believe that fan optimism translates to wins on the floor?
No.
I don't either.
No.
What is the virtue of being optimistic about this team?
I guess my counter would be to counter a question with a question. What would be the, like, I'm an optimistic person. That doesn't mean, hey, the last 16 years, I might have been, there were some years I was more optimistic than others.
Sure.
But I go to every game thinking, yeah, this would be fun. The Kings can win. Not every game's fun.
So you would ask.
They don't win every game.
So you would ask me, what's the virtue of being pessimistic?
Yes.
Yes. And I would say I have an answer for that. The virtue of being pessimistic when it comes to the Sacramento Kings is that, let's go back to the Maverick draft day corollary. If you lower your expectations to the point where you have no expectations, mm-hmm. even possibly the point where your expectations are failure, mm-hmm. or at least not meeting the goals you want, you have almost no, you have less of a threshold to be disappointed.
Okay.
Because you expected failure. You
right.
expected this team to do what they've done every year for 16 years, which is be a bad team. Now, here's the other part. This is why I think there's virtue to this. If you expect them to fail and they end up succeeding, it's not going to make the feeling of their success any less. You're not going to be like, well, I expected them to fail, and they're 10 games over 500. I'm not as excited. You're going to be even more excited because, like Maverick in the movie theater, your expectations were so low. But if they fail,
yeah.
that's what you expected.
I think it would be –
you're protected.
I see this the defense mechanism to protect yourself, but I also feel like if your mindset is that going into the year, I don't know when it then switches to – they've surpassed my expectations, meaning last year, 5-4, 9 games, a small sliver of the season. But the ninth game there, they blow out Charlotte at home. It was a Friday night. It was like, oh, Charlotte's going to come in here and run the Kings out of the gym.
Sure.
It flipped the other way. Kings are 5-4. You're thinking, that's fun.
Yeah.
This looked good. This could be a pretty good team. We know it fell apart after that. They fire the coach. Luke's out. They just never materialized. But if you had zero expectations, that Friday night game would just be what to you? Like,
I would still watch every game.
No, I know that. But, right. like, at some point, do they have to be 25-10 to go, oh, they're actually good? Like, to me, I think the whole season is a ride. I enjoy all of it as much as some of it is awful. Hey, here's another 9-game losing streak. This is kind of miserable. Or they blew this 20-point lead. This is rough. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's the whole journey. This is me. I feel like you have to go through the whole journey, which you still do.
Which you still do. I can tell you, to your question, I can tell you exactly the last time I felt this way, and I can tell you exactly that to the day when it turned around. March 26, 1999, the Sacramento Kings and Jason Williams and Chris Webber were playing Staples Center against Los Angeles Lakers on TNT. At halftime, the score was the Lakers 62 and the Kings 46. Kenny Smith at halftime said, guys, I've been telling you this team's a lot more improved, and everybody else was just killing the Kings. Kings end up outscoring the Lakers 40-23 in the third, 25-24 in the fourth. They win the game 111-109. Chris Webber with a tip, and with 0.4 seconds left, Jason Williams got slapped in the face accidentally by Chris on the way back down the floor when he was trying to high-five him, and it was right there. Now, that's late in the year, but right there, I truly began believing in that squad, and that was the start of something crazy. It didn't diminish the wins prior to that.
Yeah.
Because remember, that was the strike year. Kings were 13-16,
mm.
but it told me this team's got something that can be built on. I don't know. There are some people that say, and I know they tune into the show, and they tune in. They want to hear optimism.
Yeah.
That's just a psychological thing. And I get in arguments with these people because I've never heard, I mean, you did a great job, but logic to logic, in my brain at least, and how wacky it is. I do not see the virtue of being optimistic.
Wow. It's just, I guess we're just wired differently.
It is.
And there, I know there's fans like you and there's fans like me and maybe some in between that literally maybe just going, yeah, this is entertaining. I just hopefully have fun tonight. Oh, who won? Like, wait, what? You don't know who won?
You don't know
what? Like, for you and I, we're going, oh, my gosh.
They went to have fun.
Yeah. And I told you this before, the Kings, let's go to the 9-game losing streaks. Was it 2 years ago? They had two of them. And I tell you, I get to that next game, and you're thinking, when you're in a 3-game losing streak, it feels like they'll never win again.
Right.
I mean, it just feels like it. So they've lost 9 in a row. Maybe that 10th game is at home. And Scott Moak, Scott Freshour, the PA, you know, that starts, the music goes. I'm like, yes. here we are. They're going to beat the Nets tonight, and they might be underdog by 16. Like, I immediately go there, and I don't know that I get to the letdown part, I guess is what you're alluding to.
I
don't know that my I wasn't fooled going, this game is going to turn them around and they're going to win the championship.
Sure.
But it's like, it's a new night. They can win tonight. And I just, that's my fandom philosophy, I guess.
I want to be clear, and I'm also not the guy that's like, they're going to lose or then they win. And it's like, okay.
It feels a little like that.
I think that's where the confusion comes in, because there's the Randy Quaid character in Major League. You know, like, they still suck.
Yeah.
I will be through the roof opening night.
Yeah.
And if they win, I'll be, let's go.
Yeah.
But there's all, but
it's also 1-0.
Exactly. Like, but there's the ground floor feelings and the 50,000 feet feelings. Until those questions are answered about this team.
Yeah.
The questions we posed at the beginning of this conversation. It's just not, I can't do the, I'm a Kings fan, therefore I'm optimistic, therefore I think, we're going to make the playoffs, or this is our year.
Right.
I have to have the logic behind it. And we're close.
Yeah.
There's a lot more logic behind this team being better this year than there has been in a long time when it comes to other teams and what they've done negatively. So I have a logical reason to feel some optimism, but also it's Missouri. It's the show me.
Yeah. I think this is truly the spectrum of fandom, though, because I can go back. You've been here long enough. I've been here long enough. Let's go to the days where they were great. They were one of the best teams, championship caliber team. I remember doing post game shows or regular shows where it would be Kings as a one seed during the year. It's March, let's say, and they lose a game to not Minnesota. They were pretty good then. Whatever. Denver was not good then.
Right.
Lose to Denver. Calls would come in. If you're going to be a championship team, you can't. This is not a championship team. You can't lose to teams like Denver.
Right.
That's irrelevant. Losing to Denver on a Tuesday is irrelevant.
Correct.
But there was still that fandom. Like, this team doesn't have it. Adelman's not going to be able to get him to win a big. Weber's not the dog.
Right.
Because you're not going to lose this game on a Tuesday night to Denver if you're a championship team. It's like, well, they're not going 82-0.
No, they're not.
And so when the Warriors went 73-9 and still didn't win all, but even that year, they lost to 9 teams somewhere in there. Maybe even the Kings once. I don't think it happened that year. But whatever the point is, they were still a championship caliber team.
It was a great year.
Yeah.
To your point,
I think that fandom's everywhere.
Environment matters.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. If at the end of the season, the Kings end up the 5 seed and they're out in the first round, fan base happy?
Today, yes.
I think the fan base is over the moon.
Yeah, probably. Because then you're also feeling like this is the start.
Yes.
This next year, we're a 3 seed.
I think
next year, we're in championship caliber mode.
Happiest this fan base has been in almost 20 years, I think, if they made the 5th seed.
Oh, absolutely.
Easily.
Okay. Absolutely.
Now, let me ask you this. 2003, Kings make the 5 seed, and they're out in the first round of the playoffs. Fan base happy?
No.
Of course they're not.
No.
Because expectations have gone through the roof.
Yeah. Warriors jumped last year, like from being great to off year to jumping. Like, if they're a 5 seed this year, they're not happy with that.
No. And that 73 win year, by the way, it's a failure.
Yeah, incredibly.
It's a failure. Incredibly. Because it's a failure. That's just redonkulous. We'll take a break. We got NFL football tonight, including the surprise team of the year so far. And what does the start for the Miami Dolphins mean historically for them? We'll tell you next.
You want Kings talk?
I'm a diehard Kings fan.
There's nowhere else you need to go but here.
Kings games, Kings interviews, Kings breaking news, Kings coverage. Nobody has it all but us. Sactown Sports, your local sports leader.